Good evening. We have this week Parshas Noach, obviously, and the way the Parsha ended last week was very interesting. A mere 1,500 and change years after God has created the world and set it in motion for all the things that we have with all the generations that we're having, and it descends into the depths of depravity to the point where God wants to destroy the entire world. And it says, Ki nichamti ki asisim. God has misgivings about all the creations that he's made, and human beings have gone down the tubes. And along comes one person, and the parsha ends with a very interesting pasuk that all the mefarshim try to explain. And since God doesn't lay it on the line, doesn't explain what it means, when it says, V'noach matzachem b'yenei Hashem, the parsha ends on an upbeat mood. Noach is born, and it says, Zeh yinachameinu mima'aseinu mi'yitzvon yodeinu. And the interesting thing is, there is that one word, Zeh, which has two notes on it, and it's singular in terms of one thing. There are many words that have two notes on it, but this one is a one-syllable word with two notes. And in addition to that, the two notes, the Tlisha and the Gershayim, we read it in the opposite direction. And we're told that the reason is, or the Malbim rather, makes an interesting explanation that while the people thought that it was the, you know, Zeyin Achameinu Meitzvon Yodeinu, Masei Yodeinu Meitzvon Yodeinu, up to this point in time when people wanted to plant vegetation and do anything in the ground for planting and seeding, they had to get down on their all fours and dig with their own hands. There were no implements of farming, and Noah invented implements of farming to better the world. And this is the crux of the matter, that Noah is Noach Motzochem B'yanei Hashem. Noach was the first person in all of creation from the time that Adam Rishon was born that spent his time trying to make the world a better place to live in as opposed to all the other people. Even Chanoch, who was a great tzaddik, it says V'einenu. He lived 365 years, but what he accomplished, we don't know. He was a big tzaddik. But God is looking for somebody who's going to make a better place than he lived. If we notice that in all the generations up to this point, so many people have lived so many years, 700, 800, 900 years and change, and it just says that they were so old when they had children and then they died. They were so old when they had children and they died. And it doesn't tell us anything about anyone's accomplishments. They were literally marking time on this earth. They had so much time, and they did not even think about their fellow man. They didn't think about anything. They just lived. They had a meaningless existence. Along comes Noah, and he is trying to do something to better the world. He doesn't want to leave it empty-handed, not leave a legacy, and he invents farming tools to make everyone around him have an easier life. V'noach motzachem b'yenei Hashem. And that's what God wants us to do, make the world a better place before we leave it. And that was v'noach motzachem b'yenei Hashem. V'noach was set out to make the place a better place, to leave a legacy of his farming tools. And the Malbim explains that, of course, the main thing is that he saved the world. But the reason that God chose him to save the world was for that. And we see how the parasha begins. Noach was on a mission of his own. Rav Moshe Feinstein makes a point of saying that, of course, Noach didn't have any children till he was 500 years old. And, of course, we'd like to speculate that God felt that if he had children, if at the time of the Mabul, his children were older, they also would have sunk into the depths of depravity and not be worthy of saving as well, and that they were only 100 years old at the time of the flood and therefore hadn't done anything, had not created any mayhem yet in the world, and therefore they would be free to survive. But it's more than that. God gave Noah 120 years to build the Teva, to build the ark, to save the people. And although they scoffed, and he continued to do God's bidding and build this Teva according to all the specifications that God set forth for him and all the work that he had to do in the Teva, he never gave up hope of a future. Imagine the depression that he must have gone when the Teva door opens up and he walks out and sees the destruction of the world. It must have been a very depressing sight, which of course leads him to be drunk. But we find something very interesting previous to that. And that is, even God told Noah to take two pairs of every animal that is not clean and seven pairs of all the clean animals. Of course, we haven't up to this point been anything discussion about what's a kosher animal, what's a non-kosher animal. But what is the point of a kosher animal? The non-kosher animal are animals of prey, birds that are birds of prey. In other words, all birds that have their eyes in front of their heads, which are birds of prey, are non-kosher birds. Birds that are more serene and have a more sedate life, they're not birds of prey, are the kosher birds. The same thing with the animals and the wildlife, and then there are the animals who are more like the cows that we eat. But there's one very interesting thing with the birds. As the water begins to recede from the world, and that is now getting time where Noah, the Teva, is resting on Mount Ararat, and Noah does not know what level the water is in. Is it worth going outside? And it says, Vayishalach ha-sorev, and Moshe, and Noah goes ahead and sends out the raven. And the raven goes out. It doesn't tell us what the purpose of the raven going out was, but nevertheless, the raven goes out. He comes back, he goes out, he comes back. All the raven is looking for is a place to hang his hat, a place to roost. And since he can't find anything to roost on, to make a home for himself, he keeps coming back. The raven, as we know, is interested only in his own self-preservation, as opposed to when Noah sends out the Yonah. Very interesting. A Yonah, which is a kosher bird and which is used for a sacrifice, the Yonah is willing also, taking a cue from Noah or taking a cue from the birds that will be a kosher bird as well, in that the Yonah, the dove, goes out and he comes back. If he found this Alei Zayis, then he found something to eat, he found something, he found some vegetation, some fruit growing that he could have stayed out there. He's a bird. All birds are free birds, and he could have eaten it. But guess what? The Yonah returns with Alei Zayis Beviha. It wasn't for himself. He came back to show Noah or that he had a family. He left over the other kosher, the other birds that were in the Teva, and he brought back something, some food for somebody else. He thought perhaps somebody else might need it. The raven came back with nothing because he only was thinking of himself. And the Yonah, just as Noah was this man who always thought of his fellow man to improve the world, the Yonah was also self-sacrificing when he could have taken it for himself, but he in turn, the Yonah as well, brings back Alei Zayis, perhaps for his mate or for other birds to eat as well. And this is what God wants, and God sees this point and sees that these are the creatures that God is willing to save the world for. But when they come out of the Teva, there is a major problem. They have nothing to eat. Mankind has nothing to subsist on. The problem becomes that they've only been eating vegetation up to this point in history. No one has ever had a taste of a piece of meat because killing animals for your own food, for your own existence, is not allowed. there is a major problem. God gives them the ability. God says, you may now eat meat. There is a major problem. Once a man becomes a hunter for an animal, it develops an adversarial relationship. Once that adversarial relationship develops, then it is no longer possible. The animals will hunt down the man as well and become his adversary. And lions certainly are stronger than humans. And even if God puts the fear of animals into the fear of man into the animals, what Noah and his children are very concerned about is that obviously at this point there are 9 pairs of animals and birds and insects, whereas there is only 8 human beings. The animals outnumber humans in a tremendous number. And the miracle for them to survive while eating meat is a major miracle. But Noah seeking to make the world a better place, the animals show that respect that God puts into them, the Morachem v'chitchem yiyeh al kol chayas ha-sodeh v'al kol chayas ha-oretz. And God makes a covenant. And the interesting thing about the covenant is we see that there are animals since that time that have become extinct, but that's what the world, that's what God is telling Noah when he comes out of the table. He says, "Vakimosi es berisi itchem, I am making a covenant with you." The word itchem on the surface would seem to be a very extra word. Vakimosi es berisi, v'lo yishaches kol basor, I will never destroy human beings once again, because Noah's children are wondering if it's worthwhile to propagate the race, to repopulate the earth. It wouldn't be worth it if God will bring this destruction anytime soon again. What was the point? But God shows them the rainbow, and he says, let this sign be the sign that I will never destroy the world again. But that promise is only itchem, with you as human beings, while I will never destroy all the animals of the world. The covenant not to destroy the human race is only with the human race. There will be animals that will survive. Occasionally there might be animals that do become extinct. V'akimosi es berisi itchem. And even though in a scant 300 years after the flood, we see the Tower of Babel rear its ugly head. But really, God didn't kill these people because there was shalom between them. And that's what God is concerned about, peace amongst our brethren, peace amongst the world, not just among Noah and his children. Promising them what they're concerned about, not only are Noah's children concerned about the existence and repopulating the earth, but they're also concerned about if they're dividing up the world as these three, Shem, Ham, and Yafes, there's another problem. They're concerned about the last two brothers that they saw when they were left alone on the earth, Cain and Hevel, who would come to blows and Cain would destroy Hevel. And God gave them, he had to spread them out over the earth so that they wouldn't be the same way that Cain and Hevel were in each other's face day in and day out. When God, after the Tower of Babel, spreads out the world, it is to give people their own space. So Shem, Ham, and Yavis do not occupy the same space. They are not vying for the same land. What God wants is peace. And for each man to leave a legacy, to leave the world a better place when he leaves it. Noah is willing to do that. Shem is willing to do that. And that is why the parsha ends on the tremendous upbeat note with the birth of Avraham Avinu Terach, a man who was obviously not the paragon of virtue, but he leaves Avraham behind, but with Avram, as we are told, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov learned with the yeshiva, whatever that means, Hashem ve'Ever, and that is where they got their formal education, and they understand the meaning of life. And when we see in next week's parasha that Abraham is willing also with the legacy of Noah and Shem, is willing to lay his life on the line to save Lot. And this is what the legacy of a Jew is all about. We as Jews value life as no other race in the world does. Every Israeli is so concerned about every single life that is lost, whereas the other nations that are fighting Israel couldn't care less if they lose 100,000, a million in various countries. It makes no difference to them. We mourn each loss because we have the value of life handed down from Noah, handed down from Shem, and most of all, leaving behind the legacy of Abraham, who countless times laid down his life to better mankind. May we all be zocha to save mankind, leave a legacy of helping our fellow man to the best of our ability. Have a good Shabbos and have a wonderful week. And may this world experience the peace that we hope we deserve. May we earn it. May we be zocha to see it in our lifetime. Thank you.